Hi, I am Coach Emilio. Welcome to the Escuela del Sur. If you are a sports coach, do you want to find more freedom in your decisions and opportunities and find solutions in the day-to-day work of your profession? This podcast is for you. I will tell you from my experience as a coach in Dubai and interviews with coaches around the world, the habits, techniques, valuable background, and tools that can guide you and give you more results with less effort. I invite you to give your coaching career more possibilities and confidence in the competitive world of sport. Listen to our episode to get ideas to optimize your professional profile with continuous improvement, so you can get more results, improving your quality of life along with your profession and your passion. We start. Welcome to Escuela del Sur. In this amazing podcast as coaches of the world, we are here with Arturo Padilla. Welcome, Arturo.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be part of this podcast one more time. And thank you for your invitation.
No, I'm so glad you have said, because this is the second one. We had an interview in Spanish from the Latin American coaches. So we thought maybe it's not a bad idea to share the same ideas in English for all the community in US and all the world.
Sounds good. I think there is a lot of good things that we can share with everybody around the world. So it will be good.
Amazing. So explain us who you are.
Okay. Well, as you say, my name is Arturo Padilla. I'm from Panama. I have been doing gymnastics my whole life. Gymnastics has been my life since I remember. I was part of the national team in Panama as a gymnast. Then I started coaching in a small club in Panama, Club Marbella. And we started developing a lot of like good athletes there, but our gym didn't have the equipment or the facilities to provide them with a good environment for like harder skills. So one of the things that I love to do was learning. I always love to learn, and I was trying to keep learning and learning and learning more. So yeah, that's me, and that's how I become coach, because I love gymnastics, and yeah.
So in Panama, you make your primary like a coach, artistic gymnastic coach. You make this example. And later you take the decisions for go more forward and you went to Costa Rica.
Yes, because as I told you before, we didn't have the facilities, the equipment, and I felt at some point that I was getting stuck in the same place, not learning anymore, and I really wanted to grow farther with my career as a coach. I moved to Costa Rica to work in Club Carbonell with two Cuban coaches that I met long, long time ago. They offered me a position there and I started working with some athletes around 8, 9 years old. And then we started producing good quality of gymnastics, something that at that moment in Costa Rica, they didn't have like a good program. And I started working as hard as I can to learn. I'm really honored that I have the opportunity to ask some of some friends for advices, that I took the FIG academies, and I met some people like Flavio Bessi and Lily Ortiz and so many other coaches that we got together and have the opportunity to share ideas and to, I think, build up our knowledge in gymnastics. In that way, every time that I was like, oh, I want to teach this, but I don't know how to do it, or I don't know if what I'm doing is right, I used to send videos to Flavio or send videos to Lily. They were like, okay, you should be doing this, maybe do this, maybe try this. Even with the lesson plans, the conditioning, the planning. So it was a good way for me to keep learning and improving and growing in my career.
So the academies gave you a lot of ideas, experience, knowledge, networking, and later you start to go on and understand, maybe I'm ready for international competitions.
Yes, I think the most important part from the academy, it was the networking. Because those people that I met back in 2007, they are still part of my life. They are still, I can call them friends. And we still have a good relationship. And sometimes we met, like I saw Flavio, last time that I saw him was in 2019 in the World Championships in Stuttgart, Germany. Yeah, so it's like you still have that people that is a good part of your life, and they will be there forever. So I think that was the most important part of the FIG academies.
And later you make in Costa Rica your like university secondary and university like artistic gymnastic coach. So yeah. Tell me about this experience in a first World Cup. When was this Canadian coach with you?
Yeah, well, that was a part of in my life that changed like my mentality and all of that, because I was a big fan of gymnastics my whole life. So when I was dreaming of going to a world championship, I was dreaming to go into the Olympics, I was dreaming to see all those famous gymnasts in person. And one day back in 2011, that dreams came true. So we traveled to Japan to the world championships. That was one of my first international experience on that stage, in a world stage. I remember going like out for the competition, and we have to walk from the warm-up gym to the arena where you are going to compete. And my athlete was for some bar. So I was walking out to prepare the bar and get the bar ready for her to warm up and get ready to compete. And when I walk out of the tunnel and I saw the gym, that for me was like, oh Lord, I don't think that I belong here. I think this is way too much for me. I have been dreaming with this moment, but I don't think that I'm ready for this. And this Canadian coach that rotated with us, he approached me and he was like, are you okay? And I was like, I think I don't belong to this place. I think there are too many world coaches and the amazing gymnast here, and I don't think that this is my place. And he was like, but listen, where are you right now? And I was like, I'm in the world championship. And he was like, well, that means that you are a world coach too. So get out there and enjoy what you're doing, because you deserve to be here. You're not any less than anybody else. So that for me was inspirational, changed my mind, and makes me feel that if you work hard, your dreams come true and you are good enough to do it.
So incredible how the imposter syndrome is looking for everyone in gymnastics. So perfectionist profile of coaches, also gymnasts. And when you're in the situation, you think, maybe I am not ready. Maybe I need to practice more. I need to learn more. I need to have more experience. I am not ready. But how you will be ready if you never give the first steps? So it's the beginning of everyone.
Yeah, I think that's important to know as a coaches, because sometimes we are a little bit too hard with ourselves. We want to be perfect. We want our athlete to go out there and show everybody that we have been working so hard and that we are capable of doing good gymnastics. But at the end, we are doing this for the athletes. And that's something that came to my mind in that moment is, if I feel this way right now, being here, I cannot imagine the way that my athlete feel going to her first world championship and have to perform in that arena with that many people standing there. It's crazy, but sometimes our ego is a little bit bigger than what we think, and it's all about us as a coaches, and we have to prove that we are good enough, and we have to prove that we are the best, and we have to prove a lot of things. And you know what? There is nothing to prove. Nothing to prove. You are who you are. First, you're a human being, and we are fine if we make mistakes. We learn from those mistakes and we grow from those mistakes. I think that's something that as a coaches sometimes we forget, and I don't know if we forget it or we don't have anybody to tell us that we have to make mistakes. And it is really hard because you have the pressure from the federation, you have the pressure from the parents, you have the pressure from other coaches, you have the pressure from the gymnasts. So it's a lot to handle as a coach, and as a new coach and as a young coach, it's really hard to see the big picture, because you feel the pressure, but you don't want to give up.
Yeah. So and also you explained to me about the ego sometimes is have a balance.
I feel like everybody has an ego. That's normal. We all want to do good, and we all want to show that we are good enough. But for me, I don't know. I know that I'm good enough. I don't want to take that on my athletes, but we are here to provide tools to our athletes for them to fulfill their dreams. It's not about our dreams, it's about them. We are just here to help them. And sometimes we forget about that, it's all about us. And I think that's for me when it becomes a problem. When you cannot handle that part of your ego and you don't understand that, yes, you're working really hard, but the one that has to show up and be the best is the athlete. That everything that we have been doing and everything that we are doing and that we are willing to do, it's for the athletes, not for our egos.
It's amazing because now with all the things with the social media and all the that we talked before about this immersion we are in the virtual reality, everything looks good, but we never figure out how feel the gymnast with this pressure sometimes from us like a coaches. And what I take from this conversation was you also need a little bit ego for move yourself like a coach. But never forget about it. It's all about the gymnast. It's not about us. But I remember this where you tell me about have a balance, because also we want recognition. We don't want to do a free work. It's not free. It's our profession. But
And
we have a balance.
I think we deserve the recognition too, because we have been working hard too. And sometimes we sacrifice a lot of things in the
Family
process.
time.
Family, time, money, because we all know that working as a coach in gymnastics, you're not going to be a millionaire. And sometimes you spend a lot. Sometimes in our countries, you are the one that put the money to travel with your athletes. Sometimes you are the one that has to pay for the athlete's food or pay for the athlete's where they are going to stay, or pay for a lot of things out of your pocket. So you sacrifice a lot of things. So I think we deserve that recognition. But at the end of the day, if that recognition is not there, you're still doing what you love. And the athletes are working as hard as you.
We want to make a special announcement. We have new sponsor from FVQ's 3D Gym, an app developed from Wales and France, where you can find three apps, 3D Gym Woman, 3D Gym Men, and Trampoline. All information is available on Instagram and also on the website fvcubes.com. We also want to thank eGymnastic from Germany by Flavio Bessi, where you can find all the information about their new educational platform learning, gymnastic courses for all the coaches around the world. Thank you very much.
And they are the ones performing. So when the athlete is competing, you have no control of what they are going to do. You already did your job. So no matter what happened, you did what you were capable of at that moment. And now it's their time. And there is, at least I don't know any athlete that they wants to go out there and compete and do poorly. They all want to go out there and show up and do their best. If they have a bad day and we keep telling them that it wasn't the best, we are not helping them. Yes, they know that it wasn't the best. They know that. Now, what we are going to do to make it better for the next time. I think that's our job as a coaches. Now, I think society is a little bit hard and different now with what you say with the social media, because everything that we see in social media is perfection, or at least that's what the fake news on social media show us, perfection. But this is why we have a lot of kids now, a lot of athletes in young stage dealing with anxiety, because they don't know how to deal with problems. They don't know how to deal with these kind of things, with failure.
With challenge.
Challenge, yes. I agree. 100% is so hard, because now they have to show the social media that they are perfect. Not that they are good enough, but they have to be perfect. And everybody is now following them, or it's crazy how times has changed and the pressure that the athletes and everybody else feels, because sometimes you post a video of your athletes doing something and they go to the meet and they don't do it the way that they did it in the video, and everybody's like, oh, well, they are not that good. No, maybe they are, but today wasn't a good day. Everybody has those days. But I think it's so easy now with social media to judge everybody. And it is crazy. It is really crazy to handle that pressure.
So it's the first time we talk in all the interviews about this topic. And I think US is very strong about this society pressure, society about your succeed. Maybe something we can go forward and forward with more comments about it, but it's something we need to take attention on more, especially the parents, because it's whole expectation is looking from outside, and the Instagram, the scholarship, the university they will apply. Yeah, and this is everything what we see in Instagram and yes, in TikTok. In gymnastics, it's a lot.
Like, for me, that I work here in the US with this system, sometimes I wonder, like, why they do gymnastics. They really love gymnastics, or they are doing it because they are expecting to get something in return from the year that they have been doing gymnastics. I came to the realization that sometimes they are expecting to get a scholarship, but they don't understand. And when I say they, I include parents and athletes. Sometimes they don't understand what it takes to get a scholarship. They think that because they are coming to the gym every day and they are doing gymnastics, and the parents, because they are paying, my athlete is going to get a scholarship. And that's it. And sometimes you ask the athletes, do you want a scholarship? Yes, I want to go to Utah. I want to go to UCLA. I want to go to Florida. I want to go to this. Have you seen their gymnastic program? The other part is, what do you want to do when you go to college? Because at the end of the day, gymnastics is going to be over at some point, and you have to be a professional. You have to have a career. They don't know what career they want because for them, in their mind, it's all about the gymnastic program. And that for me is like, but what is going to happen after you retire, after those 4 years of doing gymnastics in college are over? What are you going to do? Because you have to go out there and work and have a real life, like a real person now. And I think that's something that the systems in here in the US and maybe in every other country around the world fails to the athletes, because it's the same for the athletes that they are working so hard to go to the Olympics. And after they go to the Olympics, what's going to happen? Usually we have athletes at 18, 19 working so hard to go to the Olympics that they postpone to go to the college. And what happened if they go to the Olympic after that? What's going to happen? Or if they don't go, who prepared those athletes to have a normal life after retirement? And we forget about that yes, they are athletes and they have been putting their life in this, but at the same time, they are human beings and they need to be able to be out there and function like a normal person.
So, in this point, it's connected about your philosophy. If you can mention to us, what is the two philosophies like a coach you have?
Well, one of them is that I don't like to run. Don't run because you have to build. It's like a building. So if the basics are good, you can put another floor on top and put another floor on top, and that building is going to be the bigger building that you can build. But if the basics are not good, the foundations are not good, and you keep putting another floor and another floor, at some point that building is going to collapse and it's going to fall. So focus on the foundation, focus on the basics. Don't run, don't try to prove anybody that you are capable of doing something, because it's not about you, it's about the athletes. And sometimes we are running so fast with those athletes to do so much more that that's when fear start hitting pretty hard. So don't run. And the second one that is my this is my personal philosophy is I love gymnastics. I choose to be a coach, but above all of that, I'm a human being. I'm allowed to make mistakes. And allowed to have a normal life. And allowed to be a human. And sometimes we forget about that because we have the pressure from the parents, we have the pressure from the games, we have the pressure from the kids, we have a lot of pressure. And we want to prove that we are capable of running the program and doing gymnastics the way that everybody's expecting us to do. Sometimes when we go back home, that frustration come out, and it's hard because who deal with the coaches? We deal with the athletes. We work with them, and we try to do the best for them. But who does that for us? Who really cares for the coaches? Usually, nobody. There are a few persons that come to you and say, "Hey, you did a good job," or "Don't worry, it's gonna be okay." And sometimes those persons are your family. For the people in the gym, if the athlete win, it's because she's amazing and she got the talent and she is the best. But if she doesn't, you're a bad coach. And that's the way that it is. Sometimes you have to learn to love yourself and know that you're not in control of what other people think about you. If you are doing your best, that's enough. And as a coach, I think this is really important to understand. We are human beings. We are human beings, and we deserve to have a life outside the gym as a normal person. Not everything can be gymnastic, because then you start getting burnt out, and it's really hard. Sometimes when you lose that love for what you have been doing, it's really hard.
So this is something we'll be talking at the end, like advices for coaches and gymnasts is something very important about we are human beings. So don't forget about that, because admin work, gymnastic routines, physical conditioning, gymnasts deserve the respect. So many things around and the carpet and the club, but we never we didn't we sometimes we forget we are human beings. Parents also.
That's one of the biggest part, the parents. Like, when you start working with the gymnast, with the little one, this is a teamwork, because the parents are the one that has to bring the kids to the gym every day. They put the trust in you to build the foundations and provide every single tool for that athlete to start developing and growing as a gymnast. But sometimes their expectations are a little bit higher than the reality. And that's when it becomes a problem. When the parents are overly involved, athlete's career, that's when it becomes a problem. Because at some point, is their gymnastic career. They need to make the decision. They need to, every single day, they need to take decisions. If they want to come to the gym, if they are going to try their best, if they are going to work harder, that's out of control of anybody. But sometimes the parents forget about that, and they want, oh, my daughter has to do it. My daughter has to do it. My daughter has to do it. She's afraid. Or she doesn't want to do it. Do you have talked to her about it? Do you know what your daughter really wants to do it? Because sometimes we put in their brains the idea that they need or they want to get a scholarship. And sometimes they don't really want that. That's something that we create for them.
Yeah, they want to be with their friends. They want to be with the group. They want to go for the place they can flip. They want to have fun. Sometimes the kids, they want that. But the who gymnastics is in a specific sport when everything begin early. Yes, you see juniors competitions. The girls, they are very mature, but they are, I don't know, 11, 12 years old, traveling and having a lot of pressure in this gymnastic world. So parents is one of the important part of this triangle, like coach and gymnast
Yeah.
and the family. The family is so important for the gymnast for perform and have this support, and also the more important about the values, because coaches sometimes we try to do our best, but in the beginning of the respect start from home. You are a parent, so you can understand that. So Arturo, who is this US environment, like a coach? Who was your beginning to jump from Costa Rica to US? What city you start? What club you start to work? And who is your presence now in this gymnastics in US?
Well, I was 2016, I was coaching in Bolivia in one Pan American Championships, and Christy Phillips, one of the most amazing athletes from back in the 80s, was there as a judge from the US, and she was friend of one of my friends, and then she told my friend that she was looking for a coach. And then my friend talked to her about me, and then she came to me and offered me the position. And at the beginning, I didn't want to accept it, because I was working so hard to build my office in Costa Rica, and it was like, no, I got a long-term plan in Costa Rica to keep those habits for at least the next cycle and all of this. And if I go now, it's over. I need to start over from scratch. So, well, my wife was like, yeah, we are moving. So we took the decision to move to North Carolina to work at KPAC. So I have been working here for almost 6 to 7 years already. It was a learning in progress for me because it was a different environment for sure. You know, in our countries, we don't offer a scholarship for the athletes to do gymnastics or anything, any kind of sport. It's really hard. Or you're a professional athlete, or you just do it because you love it. And when I came here, I was expecting everybody to want to do gymnastics, to do elite gymnastics, and that wasn't the reality. Everybody wants to get a scholarship, or that's what they were looking for. And it was a different system. Then that's when I moved here. That's when everything that happened with the doctor from the US, from Larry Nassar, like blow up. And then it becomes really difficult to start coaching here because a lot of coaches were afraid to say anything to the athletes because it was hard. Everything that if they don't like it, they will say, oh, this coach is abusing me or something like that. So it was really hard to the point that I think now is getting a little bit better on that situation. But it was extremely hard and crazy because sometimes, like I remember listening to some parents with athletes that have a couple of injuries, and they were like, I think it's time for this athlete to be done. And the parents were so worried about my athlete getting a scholarship. And that was the only thing that happened to their brains is my daughter needs to get a scholarship. I was like, but your daughter is 13 years old dealing with this many injuries. Do you think that is worth it? And then you read the newspaper and it was like, okay, the coach made me compete on a broken arm. No, wait. Did really the coach make you compete with a broken arm? Because if you have a broken arm, your parents knows about that. And I don't think that the coach made you compete on that if the parents didn't allow you to go to the gym with a broken arm. But all the blame was put on the coaches. And so it was really hard. It was crazy, crazy time for that. I have been learning a lot. It's a crazy system here because you have different techniques. You have people coming from China, people coming from Russia, people coming from Romania, people from everywhere working in the US. So technique-wise here, you will find whatever you need. The best from the Russian, the best from China, the best from Romania, because everybody's doing good quality. So it just for me, it was just the expectations. The expectations that we put on the athletes. Part of the problem here, or part of the problem that we have with abusing coaches and all of that is one of them is education. When you have the tools to provide the athletes with the drills and all of that to learn the skills, you don't have to be yelling or screaming, or you can be demanding, but not demeaning. I think There is a difference for that. Yes, we want good quality, but telling a kid or yelling at the kid, that's not demanding quality. That's demeaning a kid.
And well, the episode has come to an amazing end. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope to see you next time on the podcast for Coaches of the World, Escuela del Sur. Don't forget to subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and check out all the episodes available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, LinkedIn, and YouTube as Escuela del Sur. See you next time!